If you're in Honeybees and our walk with God, bees in Jesus, you're in the right class today. I hope that we'll teach you a little bit. So it's going to be kind of an interesting class, probably different than any class you've ever had before, because we're going to talk about honeybees and what they do and how they do it. But then also, you'll learn something about bees, but you'll also the spiritual application, because there's a lot of characteristics that honeybees have that if we applied them to our lives as Christians, they would be very helpful to us. So we're going to start out here. This is just some of the things we want to learn about honeybees, how they can be an example for us as Christians. We want to learn some facts about the life of a honeybee and how they live and produce honey. Have a greater appreciation for God's amazing creation, because as we go through this and you learn some of the things that honeybees do and how they do it, there's only one way that that could happen. And that's certainly not over millions and millions and millions of years. It just doesn't work. It's a creation that God made. So this is an interesting fact that I thought. You know, we always hear about invasive species that come to the United States and cause all kinds of problems. Did you know honeybees are not native to North America? They were imported from Europe in around 1622. Yeah, so, but first, fortunately, you know, you always hear about invasive species, how bad they are. Well, this is a good one. This is something that they brought that really helped us. So to start out with, I just need to know, how many people have ever been stung by a honeybee? Yeah, everybody. Did it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Well, you want to know why? There, that's why. That is the stinger from a honeybee. No wonder it hurts. And it really does hurt. I've been stung a lot. We have Jonathan, me, Jay Abish, Peter Herland, and Courtney. We all have beehives. And so if you have a beehive, there's only one thing that's guaranteed. Only one thing. You will get stung. That's the only guarantee. So I thought you'd appreciate that and have a help you figure out next time you get stung, just think about that barb that's going in you. And now also you understand when a honeybee sting you, that's why it comes out, because they can only sting you once. You see all the barbs on there? It's stuck in there and it's not coming out even though the bee flies away and it will die. So, and then the little venom sac is still attached to that stinger. And if you look at it, and I've been stung hundreds of times, you can see it's still pulsing and it's just pumping that venom into you. So if you get stung, the quicker you can get the stinger out, the less pain you'll have in the long run. But anyway, God is the master designer. In Genesis 1:1, you know, we all read the creation story. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God created great whales and every living creature, a moving thing. And I'll move down here because right here, I don't know for sure, but this is where I think the bees came into play. Let the earth, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. So somewhere in there, God created the honeybee. It doesn't specifically say, but we know for a fact that it was created. Definitely God created honeybees. There's no doubt about it. You know, many of you in here have been to the Ark Encounter, been to the Creation Museum. I know Jeff's been. How many people we've all been there. If you go to the Creation Museum, one thing that I came away from was that everything that I've ever learned about creation, everything that I ever was taught, everything that I currently believe was confirmed by going there, because it's so well documented about Scripture, creation, how it worked. And in almost every one of their displays, it says the worldview, then it says the biblical view. Worldview, biblical view, side by side. So, you know, the world believes this and Scripture teaches us this. And so it really clarifies everything that you believe and have been taught. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God created everything. And as we go into this, you'll see bees were designed with intelligence and purpose. When you learn some of these things that honeybees do, you'll be like, wow, how is that even possible? Bees are programmed by God to do specific tasks. And you'll see what they do. They have a lot of work to do in a short period of time. We were made by God for a reason. Hopefully today, this morning, as we progress through this, we'll see some of these things that we can apply to our lives, help us to become better Christians, and be more diligent in the things that we do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should work in them. You know, the hive is kind of like a picture of the church. We have one leader, right? We could look at it as Jesus Christ is the leader, or if you look at the local church, we have a pastor. Well, in a hive, a queen bee is similar. They have one queen in the hive. And so she has a specific task, one leader, one leadership. Hebrews 13:7 tells us to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, if we all argued and competed and said, oh, I don't like that, blah, 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 you know, we have chaos. And it's the same way in the beehive. You have the queen, she has a specific task that she does, and nobody questions what she's doing, and they all cater to her and they take care of her. The majority of the bees in a hive are what they call worker bees, and they happen to be all the females. Could be kind of like society where the women do the most of the work. I don't know, some people might think that. But in a beehive, the majority, overwhelming majority, I would say like, I don't know, 90% are worker bees, and they're females. They do all the work. And do you know that the queen bee cannot feed herself? The worker bees actually feed the queen. Without the worker bees, she doesn't survive. Well, think about the church. Without people like us doing all the work in the church isn't going to survive. The pastor's not going to make it. So we have a role that's very important. So we serve to help our pastor. In the same way in a hive. If these worker bees say, well, I don't like my queen, I'm not going to feed her. Guess what? They got a problem. But you know what? They never say that. They do the work and they do it willingly. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we all have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different capabilities, and we need to use them. Then there's one other type of bee in a hive. It's called a drone. And this happens to be the only male bee in the hive. And the male bee doesn't, same thing, the male bee can't feed itself, so the worker bees, the females, have to feed the male. They don't do anything. They only serve one purpose. When a hive makes a new queen, they'll find drones outside the hive, and they'll mate with them, and then they'll come back to the hive, and then they begin laying eggs and doing their thing. So, interestingly enough, coming into this time of year, as you get into the fall, the hive knows that the drones only serve one purpose. And there's no new queens being born in the wintertime. And right now the bees are filling up their hives with honey so they have enough resources to make it through the winter. Well, this drone does absolutely nothing. So in the wintertime, they're like, why do we want a drone eating our food when they're not doing anything and contributing to the hive? So the worker bees will quit feeding the drone. They starve to death. They kick them out of the hive. You can actually look on the ground in front of the hive come fall, early winter, and there's all these dead bees. And those are the drones that they're like, look, we don't need any freeloaders during the wintertime because you're not contributing to anything. Come spring, when the hive starts making some new queens and they swarm, then they'll make new drones. And the process begins all. So don't be a drone, okay? The hive is a little bit like a picture of a church. You know, we have a leader. We each have a role within the hive. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You know, we all have a part. We can't have dissension amongst ourselves, just like the hive. If some of those bees in there decided, hey, I'm not doing this today. I don't like that queen. I'm not going to feed her, or I'm not going to do my job. It's not going to work. The hive's going to fail. Same way with the church. We know what our job is. We have a responsibility to do it, and we should just do it. Just like here it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, one body, but many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we have a job to do. We're one, many individuals, but we're one working together. This is an interesting statistic, a little fact about honeybees. We could relate it to us as Christians. Honeybees have different jobs according to their age. So the day a honeybee is born, the first 2 days, they have the job to clean out the cells where they came out of, where they're born. And then they also help to keep the brood warm, you'll see. So this is I got some frames up here. You can see this is a frame. And this one had honey in it, and I extracted it. That's why it looks like it does. So this is another frame. There's a little bit of honey still in this one. So you see the individual cells. So when that bee hatches, it comes out of the cell. Then it cleans it up because there's debris in there. and different things. So they clean it up the first 2 days. And then 3 to 5 days old, their job is to feed the older larva. 6 to 11 days, they have a responsibility to feed the youngest larva. 12 to 17 days, they're producing wax, carrying food, building new comb, and they have undertaker duties. And I'll explain that in a second. 18, 20 days, they're protecting the hive entrance. They have guard duty. And then from 22 days to the end, look here, how many days does the honeybee live? 45 days. You know why honeybee lives such a short life? They literally work themselves to death. They work so hard for so long, for so many days, that they literally work themselves to death. And that's where this undertaker duty takes place, because every day bees are dying, and every day new bees are being hatched and born into the hive. A queen bee can lay 1,500 to 2,000 eggs every day. Think about your lives as a Christian. The day you're saved, your job is different than a year down the road, 5 years down the road, 10, whatever it is. Your life changes. Your responsibilities as a Christian change. You know, this is real easy. And then down here, collecting pollen and nectar, certainly different than this job. Same way with our lives as Christians. The day we're saved, we don't know much what it is to be a Christian, to be saved. What's our job? What are our responsibilities? So it's kind of a good scenario for us to follow as Christians, to know that the day we got saved and today, the things we're doing as a Christian are definitely different. We should be growing and maturing in the Lord. Honey can be a picture of God's word. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, we read all through Scripture references to honey. Proverbs 24:13-14. My son, eat thou honey. Why? Because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. Matthew 4:4. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Honey is sweet, it's nourishing, and guess what? It never goes bad. Honey cannot spoil. Bacteria cannot grow in honey. They have found honey in like these Egyptian tombs that they put in there so that this person, whoever it was that died, when they get to the afterlife and their belief, they got something to eat. Thousands of years old and the honey's still good. It never goes bad. You know what's kind of good about that? God's word is spiritual honey. It's sweet, it's nourishing, and it never goes bad. You ever open up your Bible and look at a scripture that you read, you know, years ago and go, oh, well, that's no good today? No, it doesn't go that way, does it? God's word is always true. It's always pure. It never goes bad. You can't ever say, you ever see a textbook at school? I used to be a teacher. And, you know, every few years they come out with a new textbook. Why? Because things change. Oh, what they taught when we were in school, it's not applicable today. Why? Because it changed. That's not the way it is with God's word. Aren't we glad that God's word is like spiritual honey? It's sweet, nourishing, and it never goes bad. That's a good. Do we feed on God's word? That's a good challenge for us. Do we feed on God's word? There's nothing better that we could feed on than God's word. Do you ever take a bite of something and go, oh, man, that's bad? It was spoiled. Never had that with God's word. In the Bible, honey is mentioned as a source of sweetness and nourishment. I've just read some of these. My son, eat thou the honey. Remember, why do we eat honey? Because it's good. Do you know that in the Bible, honey is mentioned 61 times, and the meaning is often associated with prosperity and abundance. 61 times they reference honey throughout God's word. Well, it must have been important. It must have had a good meaning. That is a good reason for referencing honey in the Bible. So here's a great picture. If you're a honey, if you raise honeybees, Jonathan, you can't answer this question. Do you know what they call it where people, like if you raise honeybees and you have all your beehives, you know what that's called? It's called an apiary. So wherever you see honeybees, that's an apiary. So my apiary, I have one in my backyard and one out at the land out there. So I think right now I have 6 total hives. But this, as a beekeeper, is exactly what you want to see. These are some frames, just like this one right here. Same as this one, same thing. And when they fill it full of honey, the bees will seal that honey in the cell. But this is an interesting fact. The bees will not seal that honey in the cell until the moisture content of that cell or that honey in that cell is below 16%. How does a honeybee know that's below 16%? I don't know. I have a little tool called a refractometer, and you can take a drop of honey and stick it in there, and you look at it and it tells you exactly what the moisture content is. So when I harvest honey and it looks like this, I quit testing it. Because every time I tested it and it was like that, it was below 16%. Because if you do harvest honey that the moisture content is pretty high, it can ferment. So as long as it's below 16%, you're fine. So I quit testing it when it's sealed like this because it was always below 16%. Now, how they know, how honeybee knows, don't ask me, ask God. He made them. He created them. We have a tool. We cut that cap off the cell, and then we put it in this machine like this, and this spins, and then the centrifugal force is called a honey extractor. As it spins, the centrifugal force slings the honey to the outside. It runs to the bottom, and there's a valve down there. We open it up, and I put it into a 5-gallon bucket, and you can see right here. So there, this is where it comes out, and then there's I have two little filters that it goes through because there's a lot of wax. There might be some bee body parts in there. And so my first year, I've been doing it almost 5 years now. So the first year I got like 8 pounds of honey. Then I got 60. Then I got 80. And then this past year I got 320 some pounds of honey, or 330. So this is another good picture. This is a typical frame. When you take it out of the hive, and you always have to just inspect it and make sure everything is going well in there. So if you look here, you see this brown in the middle. Those are cells with new bees growing in there. So the queen lays an egg, and the bees, after about 6 days, will seal that cell off, and then the egg grows into a larva that then grows into a bee. And in 21 days, the new worker bees hatch. In 14 days, the new queen hatches when they make queens, and the drones are about 24 to 26 days. Bees are extremely busy. You ever hear the phrase busy as a bee? There's a reason. Remember, from the day they're born to the day they die, they never stop. And the reason they die after about 6 weeks is because they've worked so hard. They literally work themselves to death. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know, when we do something, whether it's here at church or in our lives personally, we should do it to the best of our ability. Don't be a slacker. Don't do it halfway. Do it the best we can. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You know, those honeybees are working like crazy to produce honey, to bring in pollen that they can feed off of, and it's not for nothing. There's a reason. They need it to survive, just like us as Christians. Our labor is not in vain. Bees work constantly from birth to death. Christians are called to be diligent, just like a bee. Don't be a lazy Christian. What are we doing to serve the Lord? How hard are we working on behalf of the Lord? Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to get a reward someday. The Bible promises that as Christians. It's coming. We just need to be diligent and serve Him while we're here. This is an interesting fact. Bees only produce 1/12 of 1 teaspoon of honey in their entire life. A teaspoon, 1/12. Doesn't seem like much, but when there are multiple thousands of bees, it really adds up. Are we doing our... So think about it. I've heard, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. I've been a part of this church for a long time. And I've heard people say, well, there's nothing for me to do. Or, what difference could my little me by myself make? Well, maybe you by yourself can't make a difference. The same with a bee. What if a bee said, well, I can only make 1/12 of 1 teaspoon. What's that mean? Yeah, but when you have thousands and thousands of bees each making 1/12 of a teaspoon, you get a lot of honey. Think about that in our lives as Christians. Yeah, each one of us by ourselves can't really do a lot, but together we can do an awful lot and accomplish a lot for the Lord. You know, I got 300 and some pounds of honey. There was thousands, probably some of these hives that I have 80,000 bees in there. Well, 80,000 bees, each making 1/12 of 1 teaspoon, that's a lot of honey. Same with us Christians. Yeah, we don't have, by ourselves, we can't do much, but all together, we can certainly accomplish a lot. Think about this. Did you know that 16 ounces of honey requires 1,152 bees to travel 112,000 miles and visit 4.5 million flowers? That's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely. A honeybee will around a beehive, they'll travel in a radius of up to 3 miles around the hive to find pollen, nectar. So they make honey from nectar, but they collect the pollen because they just eat that to live off of. But they need the nectar to make honey. That's a lot of work right there. That's a lot of work. Physicists have said that, physically speaking, it's impossible for a honeybee to fly. From an aerodynamic perspective, it's impossible for a honeybee to fly. But they do. How does that happen? Just interesting. So here you go. As I mentioned earlier, so from the day the egg is laid, queen bees take 16 days to hatch. Worker bees take 21 days, and drones take about 24 days. Now, some people, everybody want to know, well, how do they know that it's a queen bee? So what happens in a beehive is there's one queen, and the queen will last about 2 or 3 years. But as she gets older, she starts slowing down, and she's not laying eggs 1,500 to 2,000 a day. And then she doesn't lay them. If they do it right, they have a nice pattern, and then they start, it's all full. It looks really nice. Well, as she gets old, it's real sporadic, and it's not nice, and she's not as efficient, and she's not laying as many as she should. So Hive will say, hey, we need a new queen. So what they do is, I think I can show you, I got a picture here. Let's see, yeah. So this is the egg. That's what an egg looks like. It's tiny. It's like the pinhead. So they lay an egg, and then for whatever reason, the hives will say, this egg right here is going to be our next queen. So every egg is what's called royal jelly for the first 3 days of their life. Whichever cell they decide that's going to be the next queen, that egg gets royal jelly its entire life. And that's what makes it a queen. So they'll feed it, and then in 14 days, a new queen comes out. Well, so the hive, what they do is to make sure that they got a queen. They'll make, I've seen 6, 8, 10 queen cells in the hive at one time. So think about this. So the queen laid an egg. This is her daughter. Her daughter's going to be the next queen. You know what her her daughter does as soon as she hatches? She kills her mother. She goes and kills her mother, and she kills all her sisters who haven't hatched yet because she's going to be the next queen. It's a little brutal, isn't it? Nature can be that way sometimes. So, yeah, that to me, that's just kind of interesting. It's the bees make it. It's a, I don't know, it literally looks like a white gel. And the bees produce it, and they put it in each cell. So every cell gets royal jelly for the first 3 days. Then after that, only those whatever cell they determine to be the next queen will get it for until it hatches. Yep, pretty amazing. And here's another interesting fact. So the same queen that lays this egg, you can't tell by looking at these cells, but these cells are actually different sizes. Now, when she sticks her back end in there to lay the egg, she can feel that it's a different size cell. The larger cells, they make into drones. So when she sticks her back end in there to lay an egg, this is hard to comprehend, she will lay, quote, what they call an unfertilized egg. She can control in her little body whether the egg is fertilized or not. If she lays what they call an unfertilized egg, it turns into a drone. If she lays a fertilized egg, then that's another worker bee, a female. But she can control that because when she sticks her back end in these cells, to our naked eye, they look all the same. They're not. Some are a little bit bigger than the others. When she sticks her back end in there and says, oh, this is a big cell, she lays an unfertilized egg, which will turn into a drone. Now, how she can do that, I don't know. I know millions and millions of years, and it just happened that way. It really is amazing. And you know what it does for me? even when I took a class several years ago at the York County Beekeepers Association, and the guy teaching the class was actually a Christian, and partway through we're talking about something. He said, I don't know what you believe, but he said, how can you not believe there's a God when you learn about some of these things that honeybees do? This just doesn't happen over millions of years. It just doesn't happen. So this is a typical frame. You can see all the bees on there, thousands of bees, and you see all the new capped brood, as we call it, in there. So just to get ready, it's what it is. In a life of a honeybee, there's a time like, and we're just now coming out of this time in our area here. It's called the dearth. It's a time of the year like the middle of summer. It's super hot. There's not a lot of new growth, flowers and trees and different things for the honeybees to collect pollen from and collect nectar from. It's called a dearth. And so as a beekeeper, we want to be watching this, and so we can feed our hives. We feed them a mixture of sugar water, one-to-one. One part sugar water with one part sugar. You mix it up and you put it in, and the bees will take it and put it in the hive. And that helps them because when we get to this dearth, it says a dearth is a dry season with no flowers, nothing to supply the hive with food. If they haven't stored food in the hive, they'll starve to death. So a good strong hive can make it through this. They've stored, and then a good beekeeper will help them supplement it with a little bit. Just like bees, we have times of dearth in our lives and need the stored word of God for us to live off of. I know that every one of us, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we have highs and we have lows in our lives as Christians. We have some really tough times, a dearth as it's called. And you know, when we get in those tough times, isn't the word of God encouraging to us? Isn't it like nourishment to your soul? Haven't you ever read something and go, man, that's just what I needed today for whatever the situation and the circumstances? Same way with the bees. They're prepared for these times of dearth. John 15, 4 through 6 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And we need him. We need the Lord to strengthen us, to encourage us. Without him, just like it says, I like, abide in me as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Yeah, it needs the vine to bear the fruit, just like us. We need the word of God to encourage us, to supplement us. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Get rid of them. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. We need to be prepared for that famine so that we can survive. You know, Christians, we go through dry spiritual seasons. I've seen it in my life. I know you've seen it in your life. It just happens. We need to be prepared for that time. We need to have stores and resources, just like these bees do, to get through these dearth times in our lives so that we can survive. What are we doing to draw closer to God? Are we drifting away? Are we prepared for these difficult times in our lives? A strong hive has got a lot of resources that they can draw from when they don't have anything from nature. Just like us as Christians, we need to have these same resources so we can draw for them when we need them in our lives as Christians. Psalm 42:1-2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I like this part as well, just a comparison, a relationship. Just like we said earlier, honey never spoils. We talk about the eternal security in Christ. John 10:20, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, once we're saved, we're always saved. We can't lose our salvation. Praise the Lord, because I'd have lost it many times over in my life. I don't know about you, but praise the Lord that we can never lose our salvation. Just like the honey. Once it's harvested, it's good. It's good forever. Same with us. Once we have God's word, once we've accepted him as a person, we can't lose it. 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed and lost the last time. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We can't lose it. We're sealed. Once it's sealed, we're safe, man. It's good. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting. Not temporary. Everlasting. It's forever. You know, just like the honey, man. Once we get it, it's good. Isn't that good? That's just encouragement. As I said before, honey found in ancient tombs is still edible today. Why? Because remember, bacteria can't grow in honey. In our lives as Christians, sin might have an effect on us, but it's not forever. Salvation can never be lost. We're sealed forever by the Spirit. Aren't you glad that we have the confidence of eternal security? That's a great promise that God has given us. I took this picture. No, I think I did it last summer. This is a glove, one of the gloves that I wear when I'm working on the bees. And sometimes, now yesterday I was looking at the bees, and I took that top off. They didn't even know I was there. They didn't care. They didn't do anything. It was like I wasn't even there. And sometimes when I take the top off, it's like somebody sounds that alarm. I always think of, you ever see these, I never was in the Navy, but like when they're at war and they go, rah, rah, it's like, man, the battle station, you know, incoming. Well, some days it's like that. When I crack that lid and those bees just start pouring out of there by the hundreds and the thousands, I know I'm in trouble. And this day, look, every one of those are all stingers in my glove where those bees tried to sting me. There's a lot of them. Praise the Lord. The glove works. You know, it's kind of like this. That's why I think about it. You know, talk about the armor of salvation. You know, Satan, what's he always trying to do to us? Fiery darts, all them little stingers. But you know, because I was protected, I didn't feel any of them. It's the same way. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we don't have the whole armor of God and he throws those little darts at us and those stingers, just like if I wasn't wearing that glove that day, I'd have been lit up with stings, but I had the glove on. I didn't feel a one of them. It's the same way with us as Christians. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I looked at that and I thought, wow, thank the Lord he has given us the armor of God. Now, I'll tell you what happens when you go out there without protection. It's a perfect example. In my backyard, I have one hive, and I just like to keep it there because I like to watch them and see. So I have on the front of it, it's a quart jar, and it's got sugar water in it. And you see it, it's on the outside, and you put it in there, and the bees come from the bottom, and they get the sugar. So when it gets empty, I have two of them. So I'll go out there, I'll take the one that's empty out, and I'll put the other one on, and real quick. So last Saturday, I went out there and I took the jar that was empty off. I didn't have a suit on it. And I know every time I'm ever said to myself, oh, I'll just be real quick. They won't get me. Famous last words. I went out there. I took that one jar. And when I took it off, that alarm went off in the hive. And they just were pouring out of there by the hundreds. And before I could get the other one on there, they were all over. I got stung on the back of the ear. I got stung in my back three times. And the sting on my ear was the worst sting I've ever had. It hurt so bad. It felt like somebody laid my ear on an anvil and went bam and smashed it with a hammer. It was all swollen. The whole side of my face was numb. And I came inside. And, of course, Carol, she didn't have any sympathy for me because she's like, First word out of her mouth was, well, did you have your suit on? I was like, no. And she goes, and you want me to feel sorry for you. But The stinger was still in the back of my ear, and she did pull it out for me. That was real thoughtful of her to take it. So, yeah, but you're right. That without the armor of God, without those gloves, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So here's some more interesting facts. Some of these I've already, as I said, the queen bee, she can live up to 3 years. Unless the hive feels like she's slacking, they're going to replace her. I guess we could look at it like the church. If we feel like our pastor's not doing a good job, he's out of there, man. We're going to get us a new one. We might not kill him like they do in a hive. We'll push him out on the street. I said, when the hive feels like she's slowing down, they'll replace her with a new queen, which I told you the current queen lays an egg, which when it hatches, it's her daughter, who then finds her mother, kills her, and she takes over the hive. So be good to your children. Orlando.
Interesting. When you read Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings and Chronicles, you see that some kings, when they got to the throne, they kill all their brothers and
sisters. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so they won't come.
Right, so they won't come and take over the...
So who taught who? The bees?
I don't know. I don't know. Have to ask God about that. I don't know how that works. But it's kind of interesting, though, because really the queen, while she is like the focal point of the hive, she really doesn't make any decisions in the hive. I mean, it's all the worker bees that are doing it, because she doesn't go and say, look, guys, I'm slowing down. I don't feel good anymore. I'm getting old. You need to replace me. No, the worker bees decide all of that. Here's another interesting fact. Let's see. I mean, yeah, royal, I talked about royal jelly. If you remember that chart at the beginning, the bee, when it's hatched, part of their time before they leave the hive and become a forager, they're guard bees. So they don't want anything coming into that hive that's not one of their own. So like a wasp, a bug, whatever. And so the guard bees, if something enters the hive, they attack it, but they don't sting it. They make a ball around that bug or whatever it is, and they start vibrating their bodies and generate so much heat they cook it to death. They literally cook it to death. They don't sting it. Because remember, what happens if they sting it? Right. So in that case, they don't want to die. So they'll make it, they get it so hot that it cook it to death, and then they push it out the front of the hive underground. This is something else that's absolutely fascinating about honeybees. Every flower carries a positive electrical charge. As bees visit the flower to gather pollen or nectar, the charge changes from positive to negative. Now, when another bee comes along, it will know that another bee has already visited that flower and won't waste any time trying to collect nectar that has already been collected. So look at this. You've seen fields of flowers like this covered with bees? Well, what if they didn't know? They would waste a lot of time going to flowers where somebody already got the nectar. Now, every day it resets. Right, so overnight, because a flower only produces nectar for a couple hours in the morning, then it's gone. So overnight, it'll reset. But if I got thousands of bees going through this field, I want to go to a flower that somebody else hadn't already been to.
And it doesn't necessarily mean what type of bee it is. Either,
right? No, well, I don't know about others. I'm talking about honeybees.
Yeah, yeah. I'm outside my house right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of other.
Different kind of bees, yeah. Big, black.
Yeah,
black,
there's
black,
quite a...
The same.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a misconception. People are like, oh, honeybees are the only pollinators. No. Honeybees are about one-third of everything we eat was pollinated by honeybees. But the rest was those big bumblebees, bugs, insects. There's all kind of things that are pollinating. But this blows my mind. Okay, I know millions and millions of years, those flowers just switch those little things. Yeah. But think about how much time a honeybee can save by only going to the flowers where it can actually gather something from. Instead of getting on there going, oh, someone was already here. I better go somewhere else. It's amazing. So this is what's called the waggle dance. This is a terrible video, but you can see. All right, so you see this bee right here?
Yeah.
Okay, so what this bee is doing, see, this is the waggle, and then it makes a pattern like this. Again, this is fascinating. So what happens when a bee, a forager, the worker bees are out there in the field somewhere and they found a great source for pollen and nectar? That bee is telling those bees in the hive, hey, I just found a field full of flowers. Come on. So the waggle dance tells the bees in the hive the direction to go to in relation to the sun, the distance, how far away it is, and how much is there It's trying to do several things. Look at this.
Wow.
It's telling the direction, the distance, the quality. Is it really good? And then it's recruiting. Okay, look, I need all of you to come with me. This place is big, man. Look at this. It's huge. So Psalm 92:5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Who could ever comprehend something like that? Millions. If there's one thing, hopefully you learned. So just like people, bees have pests or sin that attack and invade their hives and are to be dealt with. These are three things. I guarantee Jonathan's seen at least one of those. They're terrible. And if you don't have a strong hive, guess what? It'll wipe the whole hive right out. You lose all your bees. But if you have a strong hive, they can fight it off and survive. A strong hive can fight off these pests with no problem. However, weaker hives will lose the battle to these pests. Ultimately, the hive collapse. How strong is your walk with the Lord to fight off the temptation Satan puts in front of us daily, all the time? But if we're prepared, if we're strong, if we have the nourishment of God's word, just like the honey, we can survive and fight off all those temptations. So, are we thriving in God's hive or drifting outside the colony? Are you feeding daily on God's word? Are you working diligently or wasting your days? Are you surviving spiritual dearth or growing in Christ? And this is the last slide. These are some of the values of bees. Teamwork and cooperation. That'd be good in the church, wouldn't it? Diligence and hard work. Patience. Discipline and organization. Selflessness and service. You know, you think about that. That bee will not hesitate to sting me, even though it's going to die. And everything twice about it. Selflessness and focus and purpose. Resilience. We have some ups and downs in our lives, don't we? Are we resilient? We can recover. Cleanliness and hygiene, efficiency, and a balance with nature. I think if we had some or all of those characteristics in our lives as Christians, we certainly would be much better and stronger Christians because of it. Isn't that true? So honeybees are an amazing bug that God created with some just unbelievable characteristics that we can just apply some of them in our lives. We'd be better Christians because of it. Let's pray.